Excuse me. Excuse me. What is good? We are back. Some dude, I think this is 218. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Network is the home. Oh, I went live on 79th for Hallis, so we gonna move that there because I almost got getting mad at me. Me trying to rush. Excuse me, Scott. But make sure you rate, like, subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcast. That Barbershed Network is the home. It's been a busy last couple of days, Mike. That's how it's been.
Hey, Bang. What's first and foremost,
appreciate that. Appreciate that. Wish you could have made it.
But you yeah, were in Cincinnati. I was in Cincinnati, man. I was being a parent. But you know, congratulations to you and Miriam on getting remarried. You know,
not remarried.
I know. I'm just
renewal of vows.
You guys renewed your vows after 10 years of marriage. That is a beautiful thing. I just want to say congratulations to the both of y'all. I seen the clips, seen videos, I seen pictures. You know, everything looked great, and you know, you look like, you know, I wish I was there just because I just wanted to see, you know, reception bang. I want to see what reception bang look like. You know what I'm saying? Like wedding reception, after party bang. I know you was in mode. So I wish I was there for that. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? I wish I could have seen the whole ceremony. Me and the wife, we wanted to come, but my daughter, she had a bowling tournament in Cincinnati. But I mean, I've partied with bang. I partied with him at his surprise birthday party. I was there for a surprise birthday party, and you know what I'm saying, when Bang is in party mode, he in party mode, you know what I'm saying? So I wish I was there for that. So, but nonetheless, everything looked great. Miriam looked beautiful. You know what I'm saying? You had your suit on, looking real debonair, handsome, and all of that good stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to y'all, man, you know what I'm saying? And cheers to 10 more and beyond, you know what I'm saying?
Appreciate that, man.
No doubt.
First of all, you know, thank you to my wife, of 10 years, been together for 14, been married for 10 years. It was definitely a lot of stress and anxiety that goes along with just planning something like this.
Absolutely.
Don't know if y'all know the story, but just to recap it real quick, we got married Valentine's Day and didn't even realize it was Valentine's Day.
You know what, Bang? You're going to always tell that story, and I'm going to never believe you, okay?
I'm telling you.
I know it's probably true, but I'm gonna call cap on that, okay?
If you would have been at the joint, you would have saw people like, yeah.
I just find it very hard to believe that y'all just decided to say, hey, babe, let's go to the courthouse to get married. But not knowing or paying attention that it's Valentine's
Day. But no, because I was moving the next day.
Okay.
Like, so that's the big thing. I moved to St. Louis the next day. Like, I always wanted to do this. Like, I always wanted to do this. She didn't want to move to St. Louis without us being married. We had gotten into a little argument, like, a week before that. Because I'm like, yo, let's go. I'm not going down there unless we're married. So then we talked about it again. And I was like, well, let's just go ahead and get married then. So we went and got the marriage license, and then we got married, and we didn't realize it was Valentine's Day. We saw all these people. He's like, I wonder why it's so crowded. And then, like, a little bit later, my brother was like, yo, it's cute that y'all getting married on Valentine's Day. And we was like, oh, shit, that's why. And then the next day, moved to St. Louis, and then she came 2 weeks later. So the one of the biggest things that we realized is that in the 10 years of marriage, we really never celebrated the marriage in the way that you should. Uh-huh. We moved to St. Louis. Then a year later, we moved to D.C. A year later, she's pregnant. We move again. We end up moving back to Chicago while she's pregnant. Like, it's been a lot of moving around.
Yeah.
So before I even go any further, I'd like to thank my wife for sticking around and moving around and dealing with the stress and anxiety of working alongside me with this job and everything that comes with it, with the moving and stuff. I like to thank my wife for just being there. I said it at the wedding, I said, here, I'm not talking to you all right now. if it's not for her. You know, she really has been very influential in the way that I've moved around. She's kept me from snapping on a lot of y'all niggas. She's motivated me. Mike, you saw her there with me at Fresh Fridays. Right there by my side.
I'm happy to say that, you know, I was kind of, I didn't see this marriage, y'all relationship through from the beginning. And, you know, I'm happy to be able to say that I've actually been able to witness it. So, you know what I'm saying? Once again, shout out to Miriam.
And I remember, me and you was talking at the Viper crew show that I hosted. And you was like, man, you don't never get nervous. And I was like, I'd be nervous as shit. And you was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you lying. Like, nah, I do. So it is a little twinge of cap into that.
Yeah.
The cap is I was never nervous doing anything that she was at. Because I knew if it was anybody that was going to be able to critique how the show was going and to pay attention and all of that. And of course, to calm me down when needed, it's going to be her. So it was a twinge of cap to that, Mike. But I told her, and I don't think she believed me, but like a couple of days before, I told her I wasn't going to last a second. I'm not going to last a second. And she was like, she think I'm bullshitting. Like, nah, I'm not going to last a second. Like, as soon as I see you, that's it. Like, I'm going to cry. So, second was definitely not only correct, I didn't know which second it was going to be. Nigga, I started crying as people started coming down the aisle. Like, I was gone. I was dead ass gone. Like, as I'm walking down, I am trying to hold it back. And then my homie Derek and her sister Fallon walked down, and that motherfucking just went boom. I was looking like Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
On Glory.
Yeah.
And stuff.
He was looking like Morris Chestnut in the best man.
I didn't cry that hard.
Without the visuals he was having in his head.
Without the visuals. No, I didn't cry that hard. I didn't go that hard.
One teardrop.
But this is where it hit. Like, really, really, really hit. I'm already like tearing up, and shouts out to Sean Davis. Sean Davis performed the ceremony and stuff. So me and him were talking, and I had told him that I wasn't going to last. As you see, I ain't lasted. And me and him talking, and I said, when she walks, I'm done. I'm just letting you know. I even told the guys, do not laugh at me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't really necessarily show my emotions like that, especially like crying.
In fact.
So I told all of the homies, hey, don't laugh at me, fam. I told Sean, like, hey. And then the door opened, and it was a light. And all I saw was her and the light. And I hit the table behind me where we were going to be sitting at, and I was done. I was done. Shouts out to our cousin who filmed it in our Instagram stories. Yeah, I was done.
Yeah.
And she got midway down the aisle and was actually able to see her face by then. And she tearing up. I'm done. And then we get the vows. Before we do the traditional vows, we say our own. And then we said, I do. And then it was have fun time. It was wild hearing my best friend Derek say that he was crying. Cause like, if it's anybody that knows me, it's the five men that was there on my side. But him, as I said on this podcast, him and my cousin Otis, I've shared the most with. But us two are the hard niggas. Like, we try not to show our emotions about nothing.
Absolutely, bro. That's you try to be resilient and I just want to say shout out to you, bro. That's maturity right there, bro. That's just maturity, fam. You've come a long way, bang, from being a 6-year-old kid watching Porky's and growing up really, really fast to now you here, you know, renewing your vows with your beautiful wife after 10 years and then you crying at the altar, bro. That's all right, fam. That's maturity right there, fam. That is something to be proud of, fam. And I'm proud of that.
And I definitely am. The funny part is his wife walked up to me and she was like, "You got your man's crying." And I was like, I heard. Like, wow, I just did not. But basically, that was the goal. Mm-hmm. That's how I would use that. That was the goal. If I could get one of those five guys to cry, I did what I needed to do. Everybody said that it was a great ceremony. The one thing that I could change is making sure that everybody who was supposed to speak speaks. It almost became like a funeral, and like everybody wanted to talk and stuff. So I was like, oh man, but the people that were supposed to speak spoke. Had to cut some people off at the pass. Like, hold on, like, we still got a party, my nigga. Everything worked out cool, man. And like I said, I've never planned anything like this. We've never planned anything like this as big as this. So the anxiety was like just people showing up and shit. 95% of the people showed up.
That's what's up.
And everything. So that was the main anxiety. But being able to walk down the aisle and see the wife was great. Hold on. So yeah, like being able to do that was the easy part. Everybody was like, "Yo, are you nervous?" I'm like, "No, I'm not nervous. We married."
Yeah.
This is just reaffirming what I already know.
Facts.
Like I'm gonna be emotional. Like, but that's what you're gonna see. You're gonna see me being emotional. And yeah, so if you were to say, "Hey, you know, how we normally start off the pod now, mental health check," like, I'm amazing. I got to do something that I wanted to do. I got to do something that I thought I would never do. And I got to celebrate something that we never got a chance to celebrate. Like, you know, I ain't not gonna get too emotional. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, we gonna do the pod like normal and everything. But the fact that I got to celebrate my wife in this manner was, I understand why people do the wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I get it now. Like, as many weddings that I went to, I was just like, yeah, it's just justice of the peace, this joint, and get it out the way.
Yeah.
Like, y'all know y'all gonna be with each other. Like, just do it. I understand why now. Because, you know, outside of the birth of my kids, Saturday, April 19th was the best day of my life. And it's nothing close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to celebrate my wife. I got to celebrate our marriage. I got to reaffirm what I already know. And it's like a new chapter. I had told her, like, this 10 years, if this was a movie, the 10 years was the end of the first movie.
Okay.
Like, if there's a sequel or whatever after that, that's cool. But that felt like the end of a movie. And not like the best man or nothing. Like, I ain't about to say more than that. Like, it just felt like the end of a movie. It felt like everything was perfect. And to me, everything was perfect. Seeing people that I haven't seen in years slide through. Seeing folks that I used to work with, seeing family members and everything, like the right people came. Like everybody, the majority of everybody in that room were people that was there since day one. So appreciate everybody that slid through. And thank you, a big thank you for everybody who slid through, who kicked it with us the night before, who kicked it with us the day after, I mean the night afterwards,
mm-hmm.
And everything, and appreciate a lot of the words that people gave us and stuff. I had asked her, does she want April 19th to be our anniversary now? Or do we still keep it at Valentine's Day, or do both? Like, can we get Valentine's Day back?
And I honestly feel like y'all should just throw Valentine's Day away. Just off the fact that it's so close in between, like February to April, like there's a small time span. So it's kind of like, yeah, we know we got married on this day, but I feel like, you know, that day right there is the special day. But you know, obviously that's y'all choice. You know, I mean, if it was me personally, I would say throw Valentine's Day away.
I would just say
from here on out for the next 10 years, y'all celebrate April 19th.
Yeah, nah, look,
as y'all wedding anniversary day.
Look, I would just say that when we got married the first time, I think everything moved so fast.
Right.
But we was like, it's over? Oh, okay. Hey, we married now. No.
Right.
Saturday. Like I said, Saturday was just special. I'm not going to come down from this in a while, ever. So yeah, see, this is emotional, like real happy bang.
That's cool.
That y'all hearing right now, like dead ass. Like I'm still at a high. And it's funny because when I had told her about the light shine, she thought I was exaggerating a little bit, and then she saw the video that her cousin recorded, and she saw the light behind her. I was like, yeah, I told you I wasn't tripping. Like, it wasn't no light behind nobody until you walked down. So yeah, man. I could
understand what you're saying when you say that you see why people like have the actual ceremony. And I kind of see it both ways. I see why people do it because I've been to weddings, and weddings are fun. Like, you know, it's very fun and very nice and beautiful and everything, you know, of all sorts and everything like that. But also I see why people don't have weddings, and they just, you know, go straight to the courthouse because, like you said, the anxiety of putting together a wedding, making sure that it's perfect, and dealing with guests and, you know, all of the other stuff that you got to deal with when it comes to food or all the arrangements.
Just a food? General. Yo.
But I could just see any family, any couple having to deal with that. And, you know, obviously the price, certain people like to have certain weddings and shit costs money. You know what I'm saying? And some people might not be able to, you know what I'm saying, put together a wedding that live up to that hype because of the cost.
Here's a couple of things, Mike.
So I get it from both angles, though.
Here's a couple of things on that, Mike. Like, thank God we actually went underneath our budget.
That's good. So, that's a round of applause for that as well. You know what I'm saying? Hey.
That's one. Two, shouts out to Bolingbrook Golf Club. That food was good.
Okay.
I cut that chicken. I was like, Maschole, like it was unanimous. Like, yo, this food good. It's like, hey, appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And again, like everybody had a good time. So yeah, man, I am still high off of it. Still a high off of it. Still believe I had the most beautiful bride ever. I cried my ass off. Shouts out to Rakim, your former intern, Rakim, who actually...
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know,
who did the filming and the photography and everything. So shouts out to him for doing that. So y'all might see me on video in my full glory, you know, with the...
There we go.
With the team and everything. Yeah, this, like I said, this is a high I'm not coming down off of in quite some time, if ever.
Y'all have a honeymoon, maybe? Nah.
I mean, hopefully.
Okay.
See how everything go.
Honeymoon caps it off.
Yeah, like, you know, you got three kids. You know, you got to plan some shit.
There you go.
But outside of that, like her birthday is on the 1st. Now we gotta get it's getting ready for May Days. Actually,
right, I say your birthday coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, forget May Days. You know, shouts out to my cousin Vincent. His birthday is on Thursday.
Shout out to
the day of the NFL draft. Sean Davis's birthday is right after that. Miriam's birthday is on the 1st. My birthday is on the 21st. We are still going to be in some type of celebration mode. We just ain't doing much because even though we went underneath our budget, we spent money.
Yeah.
So that's it. But shouts out to everybody who did that. And that's your recap on that. Let's move on to the biggest story of the last, 2 days. Goddamn Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp, like, really, what a week, I would say.
Damn,
What a week, I would say, when it comes to Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp's podcast company is underneath the Valium that is owned by Colin Cowherd. It came out that his contract is closing. Mm-hmm. And he could be looking at a $100 million deal with his podcast and his company, wherever he goes. You see that and you think about Pat McAfee and his money, Stephen A. Smith and his contract. And how that's gone. You look at, even though they are celebrities, you know, getting that independent money and seeing what those 8 figures is like, all right, dope. And as for a brother, that's dope too. But with that, then came the BS surrounding Shannon Sharp, or some BS surrounded behind him. Shannon Sharp was accused of rape. It's a Jane Doe, who sued Shannon Sharp. The same lawyer who worked with women on Deshaun Watson, who worked with women, Diddy, Jay-Z was involved, in that too. Tony Busby is the lawyer's name. He always finds himself around stuff like this, right? Mm-hmm. They filed a lawsuit.
Tony Busby handled some of the Deshaun Watson cases.
Yeah, he was the Deshaun Watson case. All of those civil suits.
Damn.
They filed a $50 million lawsuit against Shannon Sharp. In the lawsuit, she alleged that Shannon Sharp raped her multiple times in late 2024 and early 2025 after she attempted to end around a 2-year-long relationship following cheating allegations. Apparently, when he had that supposed Instagram live with Michelle or whatever, when that happened, some things happened there too. So Shannon Sharp released some text messages around the situation where he basically just was like, look, this is what this chick has been doing and all of that stuff. And like one of them was like, I want you to put a dog collar around my neck and choke me with it while you're fucking me. I know you missed this big juicy ass. $25,000 for each. In his statement, statement by his lawyer, Lanny J. Davis, Shannon Sharp's lawyer, then goes on to name Jane Doe. This lawsuit is filed by Gabriella Zunginga and orchestrated by her attorney. Tony Busby is a blatant cynical attempt to shake down Mr. Sharp for millions of dollars. There's more text messages from Jane Doe. I want you to put your tongue in my asshole, or I want to put my tongue in your asshole, then marry you. Yeah, this is a wild ass text messages. And just saying that this is a broadened pattern of graphic sexual communications initiated by Jane Doe. And it said it claims a clear picture that this was a consensual adult relationship that included role playing, sexual language, and fantasy scenarios by request of. So while First Take was going on today, audio came out. Like, as the show's going on, audio came out where in the audio, Shannon Sharp says towards the end of it that he would choke the shit out of her. And this wasn't, it didn't sound like to me it was in a sexual nature. It sounded like, definitely, bitch, I talk shit out you.
He wasn't saying it in a freaky way, ladies and gentlemen.
It didn't sound freaky to me at all. It sounded like, bitch, I'll choke shit out you. And then after the show, he released a video where Shannon basically said that he's gonna sue the accuser for defamation. What are your thoughts on this? I don't want to go on this whole thing about do you believe the accuser or do you believe Shannon Sharp?
Excuse me.
Because we weren't there. But how do you feel when you saw this, when you heard this, read those text messages that they put out? Like, what was your thoughts when you heard all of this surrounding Shay Shay?
Shay Shay, a freaky ass nigga, man. That's what I thought. That's my initial thoughts. Freaky ass nigga, a fan. Like, I'm just, this is what happens when you be a freaky ass nigga and you a celeb. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all into, look, hey man, I've done my fair share of, you know, sending, you know, graphic text messages with young ladies in my days. You know, we've all done it before, but you know, this is a whole type of, this is some, look, man, the freaky shit gotta stop, bro. Man, you're too old for this, man. And you're dealing with a young lady as well, like young ladies, lady not even old enough to drink yet. You know, like, we got to make better decisions, man, as adults. I just honestly, that's my initial thoughts in this, man. It's like, why don't these celebrities make better decisions when it comes to, you know what I'm saying, sex and, you know, dealing sexual relationships and everything like that, man? It just seems like it's just poor judgment. And, you know, I'm not sure why this is, like, why do these type of things are happening? And you know, honestly, you have to ask the question, like, are you that vulnerable to not see that you're possibly being targeted, you know, by this young lady or ladies or whoever it is that's accusing you of these things? Like, I don't know what goes on in these relationships, what's being said, you know, how you're leading them on to make them think that, you know, it might be more than what it is. You know, like it's got to be some boundary set, man, when dealing with these women. You know, and you're at a stature of, you're up here, unk. You up here. You know what I'm saying? It's only up for you from here. But, you know, here we are, fam. And it looks like it's going down for you because you was being over freaky. You know what I'm saying? Possibly with a young lady, you know. And it's just mind-boggling to me, bang, when I see these things, bro. You see these allegations, you know, and like I said, I'm not here to say he did or didn't do whatever it is he's being accused of. But one thing's for sure, he freaky, you know what I'm saying? And you know, along though, you play a real thin line when you engage in certain sexual acts and they can, you know, be possibly, you know what I'm saying, like, figured like it could be something else, you know what I'm saying, choking and raping and forceful sex and all this shit like that, bro. Like, those type of, the way those text messages, you know what I'm saying, come off, like, you know, it's like y'all into some more shit than just regular sex. So, you know what I'm saying, so hey, this person probably took that as, you know, took this as a way to use this against you because you made her mad. It's, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I just feel like, you know, decisions, better decisions need to be made by these high profile celebrities, man, when it comes to that, you know what I'm saying, sexual relationships with, you know, other partners. And, you know, this is just another case of, you know, just, hey, I don't know, man. That's it, man. That's my initial thoughts. Those are my initial thoughts.
So,
like, I have a lot of other questions, though. Like, I would love to see, you know what I'm saying? The obviously, he released text messages from her, but, you know, what was said?
That's what I didn't like.
What I'm saying. Like, you sending text messages just from her, but what was said on the other side of those messages?
That's what I didn't like. I didn't like that he put that out there because, one, we don't need to be in the group chat.
Yeah, that's absolutely like, but now that we're in it, though.
Now that we're in it, you ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Like, once you put people in that, now it's going to be questions on everybody involved. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, too, that I thought that was very interesting is if you listen to his statement that he did after First Take, was he mentioned OnlyFans.
Yeah.
So I'm like, was Shorty an OnlyFans model? Like, you 56 years old and you staying in an OnlyFans model. Like, that's...
So poor decisions, G.
Poor.
When you work for a certain company and you're making all of this money,
I'm going to stop you right there, Mike. I don't give a damn if he worked for ESPN,
yeah,
NBC, ABC. Stop at five. Stop at five. Like, stop it. The fact that you are 56 years old, my G, and you are constantly going after Monique was right. On the episode of Club Shay Shay with Monique, Monique said, stop messing with these young girls. Go ahead and get you a... That's what his ass should have did. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that celebrity adds to this. Like, celebrity adds to this. Like Donnie said, do you know how many fine 35-plus women that are out there that work in sports? Like, Shannon Sharp, I ain't going to say Shannon Sharp could have whoever he want. I ain't saying that because we don't know. Because a lot of people think he out here switching both sides. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that a lot of these chicks are beards.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he switched both sides. Maybe, I don't know. Because he clearly over there talking to one side. Mm-hmm. Clearly doing that. The issue that I do have is that you 56 years old. You got to change some of that too. Like, you and the homies can't be around here being the old niggas at the club. Or
wild behavior.
Like, you can't be the old niggas at the club. You can't be the 56 year old niggas that's trying to scoop the young college sophomore that's over there, because that college sophomore sees dollar signs. You can't be the person that DMs the OnlyFans model, because that OnlyFans model see the dollar signs. Because in one of those messages, she said $25K for each cheek. So clearly he was paying the five.
And apparently there's a report that came out that he offered $10 million for her to not file a lawsuit. Did you see this report, man?
And for me, this is me. I've always said this. I ain't got the money to prove it. But there's a couple of things you can't accuse me of, and I'm not going to fight it tooth and nail. And one of them is rape. If somebody were to say that they were raped by, I don't care if I go broke, I'm fighting that. That's why I respected the hell out of Jay-Z for what he did. Like, we know where we come from, and we know when there's certain people that's accused of that, how you looked at and what could possibly happen to you.
Absolutely.
Shannon Sharp know where he come from. Like, Shannon Sharp know where he come from. And I could tell you, based off of those messages and based off of what we now have an idea of, mm-hmm. A B Dot, shouts out to B Dot, says that it's time for I have a problem or resign from ESPN. Oh, no, he ain't going to resign because that company is making too much money for him. Stuff like that, getting away for certain things, because this is a civil trial. This is not a even though, let's be real, even though if she says this happened in 2024, if she said rape happened in 2024, she could press charges now. This right now is in the circle of,
yeah,
yo, you can get arrested for this shit today.
And let me ask you this too, Bang. Like, go ahead.
Real quick. What we gonna see though is that rehab. What we gonna see is after the draft, B-Dot. After the draft, when it's easy for Shannon Sharp to disappear because the draft is over, which means NFL coverage is not going to pick up till August. What we could possibly see is, oh, I'm going to rehab for sex addiction. Oh yeah, 56 years old. I'm out here paying for OnlyFans models and all of that. The draft is on Thursday. It concludes on Saturday. On Sunday, we relax. On Monday, there's a statement about how I'm going to rehab for this. Or we just don't see this nigga. Or it's just self-imposed by ESPN. Not no suspension, but the draft is over with. We don't need to see you until August. You're not an NBA analyst, even though you like LeBron. You're not an NBA analyst. So we literally don't have to see you until late July.
But see, that's why I was going with that too. But it's funny you say that too, though, because he doesn't just cover football when he's on First Take. He's covering all sports. They're talking about everything when he's on there, even though football is his specialty. But like, he's on there regularly. But that's what I was going to ask you, like, how does this affect his job right now? Like, are we gonna, is that possible we could see him be suspended? Or like,
oh, he ain't gonna be suspended. Like I said, he ain't gonna be suspended.
What if we get more? What if how much can ESPN take of more proof or whatever it is that might come out about this situation, to ESPN has to do some type of damage control? You know what I'm saying? As far as like, how much longer can we go with this, where more evidence is being presented to us? Or, you know,
more women got to come out. More women got to come out. Just like with anybody else. Like, and I got something to say about what Shannon Sharp said about Tony Busby too. Well, he might not be wrong. He might not be wrong. But let's look at it like this. Let's just go with the people involved in Tony Busby lawsuits. Gonna make this extra specific. Deshaun Watson did not fight this shit. He paid the fine. Mm-hmm. It was 26 women. They all, 25. It was a lot of women. They all agreed settlements. It was one.
Hey, B-Dot, Molly gonna interview him first.
No shit. I can tell you right now. It ain't gonna be Molly, because that's where we gonna have a problem. I'm gonna get to that. So segues for later.
Go ahead.
Segues for later. First off, it has to be multiple women for that to happen, right? Stephen A. Smith just went on his show and talked about the Shannon Sharp situation, but Tony Busby had Deshaun Watson in a tailspin. He was settle early in the season. Before he tore his Achilles, it was somebody else that popped up. They settled that too. Diddy. Soon as the Diddy thing happened, everybody started running to Tony Busby. Now, in some of those situations, which I don't know how good it looks for Diddy, like, for example, the Jay-Z situation, Jay-Z was like, nah, fuck that. I got enough money to fight, and we fight. And that put Tony Busby in a different light. Also, in one of those lawsuits that was filed, the Jane Doe said that Drewski was up in the room. And in 2018, Drewski was broke as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he just end up in there? And why did you file that with his name being in there, knowing that this man wasn't even a celebrity in 2018? Mm-hmm. So that cast some lights on some things right there. Shannon Sharp, they go straight to Tony Busby, and it's a $50 million lawsuit. Now, reportedly, allegedly, Shannon Sharp tried to pay $10 million to slide this under the rug. There are some people that slid some money under the rug and got some things settled before it came out in the Diddy situation, reportedly, allegedly. But with the Shannon Sharp thing, he tried to pay the $5 million. They said no. Now it's a shakedown. You was cool with the $10 million, but you ain't cool with the $50 million shakedown. So I look at that like, oh, anytime I hear settlement when it comes to that, I look at that wildly. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem ESPN is going to have with Shannon. And it's the woman you named, Molly Kierum. Mm-hmm. Molly is always on First Take when it comes to situations around women, saying, believe all women. And in the most professional way, blasting any man that tries to take up for a man in situations like this. Whether they are wrong or just maybe a bad, Molly is like, whoa, 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 hold on. Now we got Shannon Sharp, mm-hmm. who's really the number two on First Take. If Stephen A. Smith were to leave First Take, were to say, I'm retired from this show, it's Shannon Sharp's show. He's the heir apparent. And Molly is the moderator right in the middle. The conundrum she's in by not being able to address it mm-hmm. is going to be very interesting, especially after today. The audio out. Next time I see you, I'm going to choke the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. This is the same Molly Kierum that says a man put his hands on a woman, he shouldn't be in the league no more.
First Take gonna be interested to watch.
It's the same Molly who, anytime it comes to situations like this, questions the NFL on why they are now harder on NFL players when it comes to issues related around women. Now you have a three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame tight end, one of the greatest tight ends of all time. Pause. Who is on your show that you moderate?
That was crazy.
That has been accused of rape and sexual assault. And there's audio of him saying that he would choke the shit out of this chick next time you see her. Now, if you look at the text messages, we don't know how he meant that. We don't know if that was just the sexual way that they talked. It clearly didn't seem like that from her. But he's already set the table to say, hey, role playing. He's already set that table. I am interested in how Molly deals with this. Does Molly take a break anytime that Shannon Sharp is on the show?
Interesting.
Because again, you go look at Molly and you go look at any time there's a Ray Rice situation, there's a Deshaun Watson situation, there's a Tyreek Hill situation. Mm-hmm. Anytime there has been a male accused of domestic violence, sexual assault, any of those things, Molly got the stick burning. Why is this man still on the field? Why is this man still playing? Why is the NFL not harder on their players when it comes to sexual assault, rape, domestic violence? How can you get more time for steroids and weed than you would domestic violence? Mm-hmm. Now you got that audio of Shannon Sharp saying what he'd do. I want to see what Molly does. I want to hear what Molly wants in this. You're guilty until you're proven innocent. Just like Deshaun Watson, Tyreek Hill, Ray Rice, all of those other players. That was some of those players. Hey, you got some proof and stuff, all that. But now that that audio is out, and again, that audio came out while First Take was on.
That's wild timing to me. I feel like, I honestly, that's why I asked, like, how could this possibly affect Shannon Sharp and him being on First Take? Because I especially what kind of position that puts ESPN in. Do they remove Shannon, suspend him, or something like that? Because I honestly can see this. I can honestly see more evidence being presented to us, more of like the footage or, you know, audio.
Oh, he thought the sex tape was coming out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I honestly feel like this is just the tipping point of what could possibly be. You know what I'm saying? I'm not confident in the fact that Shannon Sharp could walk freely from this. And you know what I'm saying? I honestly feel like it's more to this. And I honestly feel like that this is how old is this young lady now? How old is she?
I think she might be. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing in her early 20s.
Okay. I feel like she ready for war. Like this ain't no, all right, I'm just doing this for the bread. Like, I want to see, like, she actually like willing to step up to the plate and present, you know what I'm saying, true facts and evidence in this shit, bro. So honestly, it just feels like more and more could be on the way, and it all of it won't look good for Shannon. So I just kind of, I'm interested to see, you know, how ESPN plays this. You know what I'm saying? Do they continue to like have them on air while this is going on? Because what if another bombshell drop in the middle of First Take? That's calculated right there for you to drop the audio while First Take is on. People watching First Take, and then you scroll in Facebook, and then you hear audio of him saying he choking a woman out, bro. Like, I'll choke you, like threatening to choke a woman while he's literally on the television. That is crazy. That's crazy, bro. So
it's very crazy. But again, man, you 56 years old, man. You gotta settle down,
bruh. I remember when Shannon like first really got popular. I thought he was I think I seen a picture that went viral or something like that of him and Eddie Murphy ex-wife. Eddie Murphy's ex-wife.
Nicole Murphy.
Yes. I think like it was like a rumor that they was like seeing.
Okay, here we go. Now
I was like, that's the type of women that
so wait a minute. I'm not in fear of what might pop up. I'm not gonna share my screen. But you know, the internet go internet. Cause he did say that shorty name was Carly. Mm-hmm. So if you go on the internet right now, if you go on Diamond's Live News, there's a photo of it. Look, man, love who you love. Do what you got to do.
Wait, who is this? Is the picture of the young lady?
Apparently.
What's the website?
Go on Twitter at Dom is Live News.
That's the app. That's the Twitter handle.
That's the yup. Now, if this Dom is the shorty,
D-O-M.
Yep. Live News. If okay, this I is the it. Shorty that is accusing.
Oh, this is Shannon Sharp. And then Dr. Umar right here.
Yeah, that's one of them. But yeah. Because Dr. Umar said that, no, you're going to stand by him, but no more snow bunnies. I don't think Shorty is a snow bunny. I would think that, you know, with Gabriella Zunginga, she's probably of Latin descent.
All right, this is
But
where's she at in with this outfit on? She's a garage?
That's what I'm saying. She's
with a
only
trench coat on?
That's what I'm saying. Fam, you're getting taken by OnlyFans personality. Shannon.
I'm not shocked by this though, bro. Honestly, Shannon. Fam. Like, I'm not shocked by this, fam. I'm not shocked by this at all, honestly. Like,
Shannon.
That's another thing I could say, fam.
Like, you're getting, and this is no disrespect to these women. Let me just say this. There's no disrespect to these women. It's just Unk fell into the trap of somebody who probably was clearly on bullshit, or Shannon felt like he could take advantage of this situation as long as he could pay the five.
Yeah.
Because again, on the text messages that was sent, one of the messages said 25 for each cheek. 25K for each cheek. That means it was 50K that this man probably at least gave up.
This don't shock me, bro. This woman, this young lady looks
you exactly. You're paying the five, this Shannon. Looks, this is wild.
This looks like exactly what Shannon Sharp would deal with, bro. I can honestly say that, fam. I'm not shocked. This looks like his type. This woman looks like his type, G.
This look like this is what he's involved looks, in.
This just looks right. Like Unk got the, you know, Unk is Unk, but you know what I'm saying? He got that country in him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Unk from the country, bro. He got the accent, got the country accent and everything like that, fam. This is right up his alley right here, dog. Right up his alley. So, you know what I'm saying? We listen, but we don't judge. You know?
I'm judging. I don't give a fuck. I'm judging.
But this looks like exactly what likes. This is his type. You know what? And watching him do interviews, like I can honestly say, like watching him, I think I watched a little bit of I don't watch none of the interviews. I always check the clips. But like, it's like when he interviews with the black women, like I say for his Young Miami, when he interviewed her, I've seen a lot of clips. He just really felt uncomfortable when, you know what I'm saying, Young Miami was kind of like, she's kind of flirting with him. And he just felt uncomfortable, like he wasn't drawing.
Mike, I'm so about to tell you why. This
makes perfect sense.
Mike, I'm about to tell you why. And it's actually that interview made me look at him differently. Anyway, the reason why I started looking at, and I should have looked at Shannon Sharp differently when the whole Michelle thing came out,
mm-hmm.
and he laid into it.
Yeah.
Like he laid into it a little bit too hard. Now, like when you sit back and look at hindsight, the fact that this took on a life of his own and he continued to run with it. Now I'm like, nah. And here's why. Because normally when situations like that happens, people be wanting to lay low a little bit, say, put out their statement, move on, don't mention it. When you look at Club Shay Shay, you got Chad Ochocinco mentioning it. You got Stephen A. Smith mentioning it on his show. You have a couple of people alluding to it on First Take. Mm-hmm. He linked into it.
Yeah.
Instead of relaxing, he linked into it. All of a sudden, it was the Rope Hills as a sponsor on the show. Guests to come on Club, I mean, not Club Shay Shay. What's the Nightcap? They Nightcap. Was leaning into that. On Club Shay Shay, people start to lean into it too. And he didn't back away from it.
No.
It became a part of his persona. He even got in trouble a little bit. You know, I had Megan Thee Stallion looking at him a little bit crazy mm-hmm. about how he was mentioning her on the show. He linked in it way too much. So now this happens. What's going to happen? People are going to look at all of those episodes. They're going to look at him leaning into it on First Take. They're going to listen to him lean into it on Nightcap. And on Club Shay Shay. They're going to look at that. And they're going to say some, you've been a freaky ass nigga, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You've been a freaky ass nigga. That's what's going to happen. And when it comes down to it, he's going to have to own it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to own that. Because that's going to get mixed into all of this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Shannon Sharp is that big enough to where somebody's going to be like, hey, man, you know, hey, put that under the rug. No, Shannon Sharp ain't that big.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, for me, this has everything to do with Molly. Molly's How they utilize Molly with Shannon is going to say a lot. Because Molly was the person that was burning down the house for anybody that was accused of anything similar in the NFL.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, now your teammate is accused of some freaky ass shit.
Yeah.
That includes rape. That's going to tell me a lot on how ESPN deals with this.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, Shannon Sharp has already gotten something. Matter of fact, shouts out to Awful Announcing. Stephen A. Smith had spoke about it. I alluded to it. Stephen A. Smith spoke about this on his show. And this is interesting. This is interesting. Because remember,
this must have been today.
Yes.
Okay.
Stephen A. Smith looked out after the whole thing with FS1. Now, on the clip, they have what he says, and I'm going to read straight from awfulannouncing.com. In a short video for Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on Tuesday afternoon, Smith revealed that he was unaware of the allegations until they became public during their shared appearance on First Take on Monday morning. He said that when they did speak about it, Sharp empathetically told Smith he was innocent. However, Smith said he was a bit torn about how Sharp has chosen to respond to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A. Smith says, on one hand, going on the offensive to defend himself, I completely understand where Shannon Sharp is coming from. On the other hand, when his legal team issued out the press release on X yesterday and they spoke about her, they mentioned her name and they revealed some of those explicit text messages. That was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that strategy will work. In particular, Smith does not like the Sharp's use of the phrase shakedown to describe the woman's accusations during an active civil lawsuit while continuing to appear on First Take in Sharp's various digital media properties. Smith gave credence to Sharp's argument that the accuser, Tony Busby, represented plaintiffs alleging heinous crimes from other black men like Jay-Z, Sean Diddy Combs. Pause. That's where I was going to come at when it comes to Tony Busby. Justin Tucker, kicker for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, let me first say he could take on any case he wants. And I don't think that Justin Tucker has been sued. Mm-hmm. He's been accused. He ain't been sued. At least I haven't seen any lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody to say, hey, and you ain't representing any of the women, they have to file lawsuits. We don't know.
Yeah.
But it does look funny in the light when you see high profile black men, and there's one lawyer. Basically, Tony Busby is turning out to be the male Gloria Allred.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know who Gloria Allred is, she's a famous attorney who represents women in cases similar to this. Only thing is Gloria Allred was getting money from anybody that was doing it, going up against anybody. And for Tony Busby, right now, all we see is him going after black men.
Mm-hmm.
But Shannon Sharp, while he might be one of the big three in this, Stephen A. Smith had a lot to say about Jay-Z doing something similar, except not putting the accuser's name out there.
Mm-hmm.
He did something similar in getting out in front. I see where Stephen A. Smith is coming from. Leave that shit at Jane Doe so you won't be on no shit.
Yeah.
But in a lawsuit where a woman said that she's filing this Jane Doe, you put her name out there.
Mm-hmm.
So he don't know. But that's why I, again, even more now, look at the moderator on First Take.
Hey, man, if Shannon ain't on First Take tomorrow, don't be shocked, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. That was Shannon. This is NFL draft.
He won't be. Don't be shocked if you don't see him tomorrow.
This is NFL draft week. Mm-hmm. If we don't see Shannon Sharp on Fuck First Take. If we don't see Shannon Sharpe on ESPN for the rest of the week, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Your premier, let's be real, your premier NFL analyst, because he talks football on First Take. If he's not on that show, fam, on draft week for the rest of the week, hey, I don't know what to tell you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Other than something's foul.
Something's
afoot. And I'm not going to lie to you. Either ESPN is going to look at the moderator and say, we don't want to put Molly in a situation like this. So Steve, we got to pair you with Dan Orlovsky or Marcus Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ryan Clark. We need to call in Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears.
Yeah.
They're going to be Shannon Sharpe on today's show, this week's show. If we watch First Take anytime this week, during draft week,
you don't see
and you see Stephen A. Smith say, hey, man, we got Marcus Take on here. We got Marcus Spears on First Take, and we got my main man, Ryan Clark. First Take is in the house. Holla at your boy. He don't say Shannon Sharpe. That's a quiet suspension. That's a quiet, yo, we gonna chill. Now.
Let this boil over.
Now, before we move on, here's what some men is gonna consider a double standard. Joy Taylor was sued.
Was she sued or mentioned? I think she was.
No, she was. She's in the lawsuit.
Okay, I thought she was just. I thought her name was no. mentioned. Okay,
Joy Taylor is in the lawsuit along with Skip Bayless. How funny how this shit works.
Yeah. You're right.
Along with Skip Bayless, and the executive vice president of FS1, Charlie Dixon, her former hairstylist filed a lawsuit in January accusing Taylor of creating a hostile work environment through discrimination on the basis of race, national origin, and disability. She also alleged that Taylor told her to get over it when she reported being groped by Executive Vice President Charlie Dixon. She also had said in the lawsuit that that Joy Taylor slept with Dixon and told her that if she were to say, if it were to get out, she would say that Dixon sexually assaulted her or something like that. Don't quote me on that full thing. That's how some of that was phrased to my memory. Said that she carried out affairs with Dixon and FS1 host Emmanuel Acho. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to that. But she was back on TV. Now, there was a time where she was off.
I was about to say, she was off TV for a couple weeks, though. She was off for a couple weeks. Now, do you consider that a quiet suspension?
Well,
even though during that time when she was off, she was posting pictures of like her vacationing. But could that have been considered a quiet suspension?
Well, here's the thing on that. When you look at that. When you read into all of that, that didn't happen within that.
Yeah.
It happened later.
Later.
It happened later.
When the lawsuit came out, she was on TV the next day, but wasn't it like some days after where she wasn't on TV? Or was she not on TV right after that?
She was on TV right after that.
Right, but then wasn't it like a day or two?
No, it was months. That was last month. That lawsuit came out in January.
Right, and then she was on TV all after that.
Like, yeah.
It never was a day that she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Until she took the time off.
Yes.
Okay.
So, that's the part where it's like.
But maybe is that like FS1, like, look, we not gonna make it look like you in trouble, so we'll leave you on TV for these first few weeks. Well, then after that, then you take some time off. You're just
gonna like So, well, look, reportedly, allegedly, they're working on a settlement.
Okay.
Like that, they're working on a settlement. So, hell, little do we know, they could have been working on that settlement while she was out.
Right.
And that's why she was out, because they was working on the settlement with her girl.
And then now she just announced the second season of her podcast.
With and that ain't that's the podcast that old girl was on that with her.
You know what? I think it was, but I think they changed the name of it though. I think she I don't know what happened with that too. Like I don't
Taylor
know.
Rooks.
So Taylor Rooks, did Taylor Rooks just distance herself from Joy Taylor? Or like did they have a riff or something? Because that shit just kind of just disappeared quickly. I feel like Taylor Rooks heard about something and she kind of like, you know what? We still cool, but I'm going to do my thing over here. You know what I'm saying? And then Joy just continued to just take on the reins of the pod. But yeah.
No. All I will say is this. There's going to be somebody that's going to be like, we got some. Okay. Here we go.
What happened, man?
Here we go. We got some new text messages.
Oh, shit. See, I just what did I say? I said,
now I got to share the screen, y'all.
This is going to continue to, I think this is just the tipping point right now. We haven't
On to Damian Lillard playing tonight.
Shay Shay will not be your first take the ball.
But here we go. TMZ just put it out there. Shannon Sharpe accuser confronted him over alleged rape. No means no. Shannon Sharpe's accuser confronted him over alleged 2025 sexual assault with newly released text message showing the woman told him, no means no, Shannon. The convo took place on the evening of January 2nd, 2025, the day Jane Doe alleged in her lawsuit that Sharpe raped her. And she left her name in that bitch. But I cried when you left because I begged you to put a condom on and you put and not put it in my ass and you didn't listen. I don't care what our history is. No means no, Shannon. I don't know how to process this. Looks like Shannon sent the text message said, can I call you later? Now,
I'm in trouble.
Here goes some other text messages. Here's other joints. There's text was released to TMZ Sports along with 100 of others on Tuesday afternoon. Most of the text messages show what appears to be kinky, consensual sex relationship between the two. I want to be abused, daddy. Wow. I want some hardcore BDSM action though. I want you to tie me up like this and abuse me, daddy. And there's a photo and stuff. But when you, Mike, when you hear the term, no means no.
Hey, Bang, I just said that this was going to happen. I feel like this is going to continue to happen. I'm actually shocked that I would assume that this might have this article would have released tomorrow or something like that, like a day by day thing. But they just coming back to back with it. You know what I'm saying?
This is definitely they're definitely in that Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
They get that Drake Kendrick. They right. Hey, look, they wasted no time. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm going to go back to what I said earlier before we move on. I don't see how, especially now after these text messages, I don't see how we see Shannon Sharpe on ESPN programming until this is cleared up. This week is the NFL draft. He should supposed to be on TV because he is the lead football guy on First Take. But when you threw out them text messages, I knew something was going to come back. And when you read what we read right there, but I cried when you left because I begged you to put a condom on and not put it in my ass. You didn't listen. I don't care what our history is. No means no, Shannon. She basically just told Shannon, hey, I know I'm freaky. but I told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. Mike?
So pretty much what she's saying is I used the safe word, and you kept going anyway.
And all he did in this text message from what we've seen is, can I call you later? Misunderstandings don't absolve shit like this. I'm going to say this again. I don't see a world where Shannon Sharp is on First Take because Stephen A. Smith is going to get a call from Molly Kierm and she's going to be like, nah, we can't do this, Jack.
Yep.
Because as much as I lean into how men should be held responsible for their actions when things like this come, and this dude gonna come on TV, and either he's gonna have to go, I'm taking a vacation. Either he takes a vacation, or I'm gonna take a vacation. And it's bad timing for Shannon Sharp. Why? Simply because that deal that he can, a potential $100 million deal. Also, this is NFL draft week. He's supposed to be on TV. This right here being put on the Summer Jam screen, Mike, I think Unk's in trouble, y'all.
Unk in trouble, y'all.
All them awards and the Webbies and BET and Essence Awards, all them.
Man.
We was loving some Shannon Sharp. Now look at us.
Life come at you fast, bro.
Life comes at you fast, Mike. Hey, man, I wanted to actually get to this earlier, but this happened. And this was kind of an offshoot on something that we had talked about a lot earlier in the show. We definitely had talked about, like, songs that we feel like that are classics, but we hate. They're just terrible.
Yeah.
And stuff. And the Joe Budden podcast had talked about it for a bit. And one of the things they talked about is apparently, like, Joe Budden was at a barbecue or whatever with, they said, Angie Martinez and Mary J. Blige. And a couple of songs came on, and Mary J. Blige was shitting on these songs. One of the songs that she shitted on was one of the songs that I hate. And that is Return of the Mac. Now, I'm not going to come at this in the way that I think that you think I'm going to come at this.
I know for a fact, before you even get into, like, Return, I know you kind of godfathered this conversation. A long time ago. Like, we weren't really having this conversation until one day you posted on social media. I can't remember if it was Twitter, Facebook, or what, that you expressed your hate for that song. And obviously, when you say things like that, even back then, you know what I'm saying, people look, and as soon as you say you hate a song, motherfuckers like, oh, you're a hater, da da da. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a great song, da da da. But you know, you had your reasons, and you're not denying, you know what I'm saying, you know, how whatever
I know people, record it is. I know people love Return of the Mac.
Yeah, but go ahead.
I hate Return of the Mac.
Absolutely. I understand why.
But here's why this conversation specifically is so complex.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige has a couple of songs in this conversation.
Yeah, and I think a part of the conversation as well is they say that if a song that you hate that's very popular, but you could also, like, if you could actually just erase that song from history, you never have to hear it again, and you're okay with that. Like, what song could that possibly
be? And I can tell you right now, one of those records is Family Affair. Mary J. Blige.
Family Affair. I can understand why people might feel that way about that record.
Mike, I hate that song too.
Okay.
That's definitely in the top five of get this song the fuck up out of here playlist. Family Affair is a terrible song to me.
Jesus.
I get that it makes people happy as Happy Mary J. Blige and all of that shit. I get it. That song's Huff with a capital H-U-F-F. That's right on. Hey, that is in my top five. Okay. Return of the Mac is number one.
Okay. Other
songs that they named on there too, like Party Up. I didn't know Party Up was a diss song. They mentioned that. I don't know. I ain't watched the whole thing, but I was like, Party Up is a terrible ass song. And that's number two. I hate Party Up. But Family Affair is top five. Like, how dare Mary J. Blige be the pot here calling the kettle black?
Maybe Mary doesn't know that people feel that way about her song, about that record.
You know why people like that song? They only like it because of hateration and holleration in his dancery. They only like it because that line is funny.
Yeah.
And she says there's no more drama in her life. So people are happy that Mary J. Blige is drama free.
Yeah.
At least for that song. Outside of that, that song's terrible, Mike.
Okay.
Is there any other songs that we need to add into classic songs that we hate?
I have a few.
What you got?
So these first two records that I have, these are based off experiences that I've had when these records have came on. So back in like 2008, 2007, 2009 in that area, that was like, you know, that was my peak club, in the club times. You know what I'm saying? I was in the clubs like regularly. You know, I was interning at GCI. I was young. You know what I'm saying? We used to go to all the parties and all of that stuff like that. So, you know, this was a fun time for me. But one of the records that used to come on in the club that I hated so much, bang. The first one is Swag Surfing. I hate that record so bad. And I hate it when it got played in the club, because at a time like when you're in the club, and you know what I'm saying, the DJ doing their thing, you know, DJ rocking and shit like that. And then you play that song and everybody just started doing the fucking this shit. I hated that shit so fucking much, bang. So yes, Swag Surfing is one record that if that record got took off all DSPs, if it never got played on the radio again, if it just got erased from history, I would not have a problem with that song being deleted out of my memory forever. So that'd be one. The next one that I hated, this is, you might, I don't know how you feel about house music, but it's one.
I'm not a house music guy.
All right, me neither. But there's one specific house record that used to come on. So it used to be, and my memory certainly is correct me, this was always at the Green Dolphin. And shout out to DJ Mustafa. Yes, shout out to him. He played this regularly. What was the one? Hey, hey. I hear you say, how did that song go, bang?
Is you talking about the song that Ye sampled?
No, not that one. Hold on. This one.
Okay, we don't want to get the episode taken there. I know.
Yeah, that record there, when that record came on, it was always a time when he did like a little house thing. I hate that record. I hate that shit too. Please get that record the fuck out of here. Like, please. I always hated when that record came on in the club. And that was like just a moment where, you know, like, all right, you do a little house mix. That was one of the other records. I got one more. This is like a for sure, get the fuck out of here record. And this record set men back. I think I said this on the pod too, but I said this on the pod before. But this record set men back centuries. And that's Mario Winans, Diddy. I don't want to know. That record.
Oh, wow.
That record needs to be erased from history. It needs to be erased from history all together. That is one record that set men back, because what type of grown man would get on a record and sing that he don't mind his woman cheating on him as long as he don't find out about it.
I mean, nothing, babe.
You can't justify it. It was lyrics. You can't justify those lyrics. I don't want to know if you're playing me. Keep it on the low. Because my heart can't take it anymore.
I mean, I kind of get what he's saying.
You're giving your girl the go-ahead to cheat as long as I don't find out.
I don't feel like he giving her the go-ahead unless I miss the lyrics.
Bang. He's giving his woman the go-ahead
to cheat. I got to look at the words. It's been a while.
I need to read the lyrics to you real quick, G. You want to pull up the lyrics? Bro, he's giving his girl the go-ahead.
Hold on, let's go to Genius.
That record makes me very, very mad when I hear
somebody said they saw you, the person you would, I never would ask you, just keep it to, okay. Yeah, he kind of.
I'm sorry, bro. There's no justification in that, G.
Yeah, okay.
He's setting men back.
And then he asking questions. Yeah, you got a point.
Yeah, I when I hear that record, I cringe.
Yeah, because once somebody sees you, and then that's it. Like,
so you're telling me that now that I mean, look, baby, I know you cheated, and
great point.
And you're out here doing this. If you're gonna do it, just please, I don't want to know about it.
Just be careful.
Yeah, be careful, please. Just be just discreet as possible.
Does it say he's basically being? He did.
Jesus Christ, get that. I cringe. I cringe at that. I cringe. But yeah, that was our, like, if I could name them off the top of my head, those are records that can be erased from history. And I wouldn't be mad about it. I wouldn't be mad. So
you got a good point. He's basically,
you give me a girl to go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. You're good to cheat. Just please.
I can tell you right now, Wayne Wonder, No Letting Go. I hate that song. I fucking hate that song. I hate that song. And I really truly believe that if you are, like, if you are a reggae lover, you should hate that song. I hate that song. That would be actually number 4 on my list.
Okay.
So songs that I know y'all love it, but I hate it. Number 1 is Mark Morrison, Return to the Mac. Number 2 is DMX, Party Up. Number 3 is Mary J. Blige, Family Affair. Number 4 is Wayne Wonder, with No Letting Go. Number 5 is Toni Braxton, Just Be a Man About It. Fucking hate that song. I hate that song. I had a chick when I was just trying to tell her we just cool. And she told me, just be a man about it, like Toni Braxton say. And all I'm thinking is I am being a man about it. I'm actually being up front. What are you talking about? Just be a man about it, like Toni Braxton. I am. Like, why are you even bringing up the song? I hate that song.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point, Toni? Like, just saying Love Should Have Brought You Home last night, we're better for it. But I hate Toni Braxton, Just Be a Man About It. Don't play that.
Okay.
Don't play that. I even hate the fact that Dr. Dre is on the song, not rapping. And I don't even think he produced the song.
Like, she just needed the point? She just needed his vocals, huh?
Yeah, why? Why?
Okay.
Is there any other song that we need to add?
Usher, Trading Places.
Oh, you hate that song too?
Another record that's setting men back. Just stop playing me, man. No, Trading Places, Usher, get that up out of here. And this one, I think this
I
is...
I do hate that song too. I don't like that song.
I'm not a fan. Get that. I'll be happy if I never heard that song again. I got a Kendrick record too that I really, really don't like. I think this record was a hit. The record with Rihanna, Loyalty.
That was one of his biggest.
I hate that. But I hate Damn. So much.
And y'all kill me for not liking Damn. that's part of the reason why I don't like Damn.
That song,
I don't like that. I don't like that song.
That song in particular is terrible to me. I think it's a bad song, but it was a hit record nonetheless. But I just think that's like the bottom of the barrel Kendrick Lamar records. Very bad, in my opinion. Like, I just, the hook is terrible. You know, everything about that record to me just, I cringe.
Not even gonna lie to you. If we're doing that, I hate God's Plan.
Very Drake?
Yeah.
Why?
I hate God's Plan.
Jesus. I don't mind God's Plan. I have no problem with that record. What was the one record he had on Scorpion? That's the one I hate. The other one he had on Scorpion, hold on, let me look and see what the name of that record was.
The reason why I don't like God's Plan, because I don't like a lot of beat choices.
I'm upset.
I don't like that one either.
That was terrible. But you say you don't like God's Plan because of who? Oh,
I don't like the beat.
Okay.
I don't like a lot of Drake beats.
Yeah.
Like the singles and shit. Like, it just seems too, like.
You watch the video? The video is pretty cool, though. You know what I'm saying? You walking around giving out money, so it makes you like this song. Makes the song likable, you know, in a sense.
God's Plan. It's God's Plan that you got, that you were able to get this money.
Yeah. But there's a lot of, I have to.
I'm not a God's, I could tolerate it, but I don't need to hear that shit.
Okay. I understand. There's a lot of records, man, like big popular records. That, like, I have to hear them, and then I'll be like, oh, yeah, I know why I don't like this record. But, you know, there's a few, but those are my top songs that I could think of off the top of my head that are, like, really bad, in my opinion, and I just don't like the concept of the record, or I just, you know, how they made me feel at a certain time.
Yeah.
Like, Swag Surfing, I don't ever want to go to a party or a function or anything of that nature, and I hear that record.
I didn't hear Swag Surfing a lot at the crib. I really started hearing Swag Surfing when I moved to D.C.
Okay.
And I heard the D.C., but it's, you know, HBCUs, and mm-hmm. you know, they all want to do that at I heard maybe Swag Surfing a handful of times here. But over there, okay, here's a new song that's added to the list too. Blow the Whistle, Too Short.
Now I can understand why that song has just run its course.
It's run its course.
I know you're not saying it because you think it's a bad record, but it's just one of those records where it's like, now y'all forcing it.
It's old niggas.
You know what I'm saying? That don't have to be the old niggas function record.
It's old niggas. But Mike, I mean, we running long, because we had started late. But I want to tell you something that happened at the wedding.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, I want to tell you something that happened at the vow renewal. The DJ played Keep Sweat. Make it last forever when we was about to cut the cake.
So he didn't know. Had no idea.
No.
Damn.
And only a few people in that room knew the story. So when they heard Make It Last Forever start playing, you saw a couple of people go, oh shit. I said, hey, hey, turn that shit off.
I wish I was there, because I would have
turned that shit off.
I would have had your back on that one. I would have said, hey, DJ, hold on, stop what we doing. Stop what we doing. I'm not going to explain, but we're going to have to cut that record off. I get what you're doing. I get what you're doing, but, you know, let's switch it up. I wish I was there for that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Turn that shit off. And he was like, oh, damn. I'm like, yeah, turn that shit off.
No, long story. Long story. Long story. Yeah, get that up out of here.
So, yeah, there was a Keep Sweat moment. At the vow renewal.
That is great.
And that shit promptly got turned off.
That is great.
Nope.
Great.
I'm good.
Wow. So we know.
Play another song to cut this.
We already know that anything Keep Sweat related, bang, don't like it.
Yeah, play another song. before we do any hot takes, Pascal Siakam got thrown to the ground. There was almost a fight. Tactical's there. Indiana is beating Milwaukee right now, 36-24. Damian Lillard is back. Also, Peyton Pritchard, guard for the Boston Celtics, named Sixth Man of the Year. So there's that right there. Any hot takes, man, before we get out of here?
I don't really know. I haven't really gotten anything, but I could see. I could see. I say this with the NFL draft.
Who you think your team's draft?
Honestly, I don't know. I think we probably
would
go
like
for
them to draft.
I kind of wanted them to get Ginty. I want a running back. I want a fresh running back,
so like Omarion Hampton.
I'm cool with any fresh running back. Any fresh running back, yeah. Because if we just sign Miles Sanders and buddy from Denver, forgot his name. That's what I'm saying. See, that's the problem right there. We sign in recycled running backs. I wish they get a fresh one, but I think we probably gonna go wide receiver. I mean, we don't have Brandon Cooks anymore. Brandon Cooks went to New Orleans, so we really don't have a number two. So if they went and drafted a rookie wide receiver, I wouldn't be upset about that in the first round. I'd be cool with that. So I don't know specifically who they're going to possibly get, but I can see a wide receiver being drafted first, and I'd be okay with that. But I was going to say to my hot take that with the draft approaching and kind of like seeing the talks around Shador, you can honestly say anybody who really knows and pays attention – I don't think it would be a shocker to anybody who really knows if Shador falls like low first round or not even be a first round pick. I don't know. I ain't saying that might happen, but if it did happen, it wouldn't necessarily be a shocker. So I don't know. We got to see. A lot of people are probably going to be making trades, ups and downs. So I don't know. But the hot take is, if you don't see Shador Sanders go in the first round, don't be shocked about it. I think he's a first rounder. I believe that Shador Sanders will be a great NFL quarterback in the future. But if you don't see him drafted in the first round, don't be shocked about it. That's my hot take. That's a hot take right there. So,
Man, I hope that Ashton Ginty drops the 10.
There's one of them. Y'all want a fresh running back? What's wrong with who y'all got?
Ben Johnson won what he had in Detroit.
He won a two-headed monster.
He won a two-headed monster. He
won I ain't what mad he at that. I respect that.
I ain't mad at that there. But I don't think that Ginty is going to drop down there. So I'm going against the grain. Shouts out to Scott. Scott looked at me crazy when I said this, but I don't know how this regime feels about Tyreek Stevenson and Jaquan Brisker. Dennis Allen, the new DC, he's been glowing about Kyler Gordon and said that, you know, he could see Kyler Gordon playing, you know, being one of the starting corners, or he could see him, you know, playing some safety. So that gives me concern about Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson. Because right now Kyler Gordon got paid. He got paid as a nickel. But when you got your defensive coordinator really glowing about you like that, I don't know, man. So my pick is the Bears select Will Johnson with that number 10 pick. And they trade Tyreek Stevenson sometime during the draft. That is my prediction right there. The Bears go cornerback because they have stated that they're going to pick the best player available. And Will Johnson is up there. He is not allowed a touchdown in two seasons. So I really strongly believe that if they go best player available at number 10, I think some of those players that I would like for them to grab won't be there. So I think it'll be Will Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson will be traded. And they're going to get some picks off of him.
Okay.
And there we go. All right, man. Thank you all for checking out the show. Passing on over the mic to close us out.
Hey, man, y'all already know, man, Some Do Pod. Make sure you rate. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you search the Barber's Chair Network. That is where you can find Some Do Pod on all podcast platforms. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, that's where Some Do Pod is, under the Barbershare Network. You can follow us on IG. You can follow us on Twitter at Some Dude Pod. The Facebook group is hashtag Some Dude Pod. Make sure you join the Facebook group. Get involved with all the debates and conversations. The Facebook page is at Some Dude. At Mike B underscore CHR. At JR Bang. As you can see, JR Bang is having a parent moment live on Some Dude Pod. The mic is muted, so he's probably saying some very bad words to his children that, you know, she shouldn't be hearing right now. So, you know, that's just how we do it on Some Dude Pod. We parents and podders at the same time, you know what I'm saying? All the time. Bank is mad. Oh man. But other than that, man, we out of here, man. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. See y'all on the next episode of Some Dude.
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.